I feel that God has inspired me this morning with some insights about being pleasing to God. I'd like to start with Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. These thoughts came to me, I believe it was early yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, but I was thinking about, as I walked along the driveway there, about how God has created the many beautiful things, the flowers and the trees, and this verse came to me, but I didn't go to it right then and read it. I did later. Thou art worthy, O Lord. This is a song that the 24 elders sang as they cast their crowns before the throne and they worshipped the Lamb. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And yes, my heart was in agreement with that. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So I was looking at things, and I thought, well, he created these things for our pleasure also. And I began to think of the other scriptures about his pleasure. He created these things, the flowers, the trees, for thy pleasure, they are and were created. These things give him pleasure. He made them. He set them in place. He put them in motion. Just think about the Psalms 19. You know, we've had different messages on that, how that they speak. They tell the story of him. Let me just go to that, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and that brings him pleasure. And I believe that as their very existence and their very output and their input into the world and what they speak, it brings him pleasure. But they also bring us pleasure. And when they bring us pleasure, it makes God blessed and happy as he sees this going on. But the thought to me that began to come home to my heart was that God made these things for our pleasure, but that is not the end to which we must seek, is for our pleasure, to have things to please us, to bring us pleasure. That's not what we want to live for, is it? He doesn't want us to live a life for pleasure, even though he made these things and created them for his pleasure and for our good and they're for our pleasure. I think Joseph said it last Sunday, that he made things in preparation for our good and for our life, or for our life before he created mankind. He put light here on the earth. We had to have light. And he put the stars and the moon in the sky for light in the night. And there's different things that you can look at and say, God, well, think about the plants and the trees. He put them here before he made man, because they sustain us in our life. So God, he definitely had us in mind when he created all things, but they're all for his pleasure. And that's what we want to think about too, is that we want to live for his pleasure. For thy pleasure, they are and were created. Think about his creation. Nothing of his creation lives just without his law and his will, maintaining it and controlling it. And that's the way he wants it to be for people too. And I also thought of some other scriptures. I believe it's in Isaiah. Chapter 42. This Isaiah, God's prophet, prophesied of Christ in this chapter. He said, "Behold my servant, in whom I uphold, mine elect, or my choice, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." In Matthew, this verse is quoted. Jesus quoted this verse, Matthew 12. Well, it's not quoted by Jesus. It was quoted by the Matthew, as he wrote that it was fulfilled by Jesus, who says that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant," as we just read in Isaiah 42, "my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." You can look back and read those right next to each other and see, compare the two. One says, "till he bring forth judgment unto truth," and Matthew says, "judgment unto victory." That's interesting to compare. Says the isles shall wait for his law, and Matthew says, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. We know that the isles refer to the different heathen islands and nations and places where God's truth eventually went because of the Spirit that was sent. After Jesus resurrected, he sent forth his word, and it went everywhere. The disciples and the apostles preached the word of God, and the people in those places began to trust. And thank the Lord, even in these last days, we have come to know God's word and to know about him. We're the Gentiles this is talking about. Thank the Lord. But I want to speak a little bit about his pleasure and our pleasure. That's the kind of the realm of thought that I have this morning. He said, "my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased." And we read that at different places in the Gospels, how that God witnessed upon Jesus that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we also want to have that testimony. There's different places that he did say that about, that he was pleased with someone. Let's read that. Hebrews 11. If we read first about Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. We want the Lord to testify of the things that we offer him too. We want him to be pleased. Then he goes on down to verse 5, Hebrews 11. Before his translation, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. We know that we read in Genesis that Enoch walked with God 300 years. And it was said that he pleased God. We also want to have this testimony. It says, "but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I've often brought this out as I read this verse, that the proof of our belief is that we diligently seek. That's the proof. If we quit searching for God, if we quit reaching out for God, trusting in God, praying in God, and putting our faith in him, if we quit, we're proving that we don't believe in him, that he is a rewarder. But if we keep on, even when it's difficult, even whenever it seems like it's of no use, if we keep on, we please God. He is well pleased with that. And I believe Enoch did that. He pleased God. He kept seeking God. He kept searching after God. And he obtained this witness that he pleased him. It goes on down to talk about Noah. Noah also received a witness that he pleased God. Remember the physical witness that came upon Noah because he had built the ark, he had moved with faith and fear toward God and obeyed God. And what was it that the Lord did as he came out of the ark and he made a sacrifice to God? It said that God smelled a sweet-smelling savor. And he witnessed that he was pleased with what Noah had done. What was that witness? He gave a promise that he put a bow in the cloud, that he was pleased with Noah's act of faith, and he promised that he would never again send a flood on the earth. We also want to have God's witness on our lives that he is pleased. And I want to tell you, you can't please everybody, but you can please God. You can have a smile of God upon your life. You don't have to be constantly unsure. You don't have to constantly be wondering, am I pleasing God? You can please God. You believe in him, and with that belief, you express it by obedience, and you just trust in God and move forward in your faith and build upon it from day to day. You can please God. He can smile upon your life. And that is a wonderful thing to be able to go through life and just kind of look up at him sometimes and say, Lord, I did this because I love you. I remember one time when we had first moved out here to Kentucky. We came here to this little chapel. We had come from a big congregation and a big chapel, and we came here and there were like four people in our little family. And I just remember one night saying, Lord, I'm doing this because I want to please you. And the sweetest blessing just filled my heart, because I thought, yes, the Lord knows. There's no other reason why I've moved out here. I want to serve these people and help them, but I want to please God. There's no accolades from the world. There's no fame, no fortune. There's nothing that I'm getting out of this but God, God's pleasure. Oh, that was a wonderful blessing. We read in all of these ones here in this chapter, that pleased God. It was because they believed him and they obeyed him.
Yes.
Even when it was difficult and ridiculous looking, they pleased God. Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham's seed, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses. These all, they pleased God. And thank the Lord that we read here about Moses, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, and that pleased God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And when you compare these two, the pleasure of sin and the pleasure of pleasing God, they don't compare, do they? But pleasures of sin just last for a season. And if that's all of our life is, what is the wages of sin? Death. Another scripture says about death. I believe it's in one of the books to Timothy. Let's see. 1 Timothy. Chapter 5. Talks about pleasure. Verse 6, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So you can be physically alive, and if your pursuit is the pleasures of the flesh, the pleasures of this mortal life, it says she that liveth in pleasure is dead. You may be alive in your body. You may have the responses that a person gives that is obviously alive, but the real important thing that is so needful is the responses that you should give with your spirit of spiritual life. That part of you, if we live in to the pleasures of the flesh, that part of us is dead. No life, no eternal life, no spiritual life. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So I want to encourage us today. You can please God. And with that pleasing God, you can have the knowledge that He delights in what He sees in you. And He is thankful and happy that He made you. You give Him pleasure. Isn't that a wonderful thought to think, I give God pleasure? I remember whenever the Lord filled me with His Spirit. I had been used to flaunting what I got from God and wanting other people to see it and like it. But I remember when the change came over my spirit that I wanted God to be pleased. I remember one day saying, look, God, this is what I did for you. Are you pleased? And thinking, yes, He's pleased. As He has made these beautiful things and made them for our good and for His pleasure, but for our pleasure too, He wants us to serve Him with contentment, with a thankful heart, a believing heart, an obedient heart. There's something else that I had went to look at today, and let's see. I started a little thought a while ago that there's nothing that God made that just constantly keeps going and keeps living without boundaries and without God's law, without God's will. But the things that God made for our pleasure are all have His boundary and His law controlling them. That's pleasing to Him. The world would, as the scripture in Psalms 1 says, or Psalms 2, it says that the heathen want to cast off the Lord's bounds. And they say, let's cast away His cords from us. The heathen rage, that psalm says. And they say, that psalm says, why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? They imagine life without God, and they still do today. People think, I don't want God's laws. I don't want to have Christianity to control my life. There are people that are very, very hard against that. They think that the rules or the laws of God are something to cast away and something that they don't want in their life anymore. They want to be able to be free to sin and to do what they want to do. But what did the scripture say that we read? She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. There's a scripture, I believe it's in Jeremiah, that says something about that the waves of the sea have a boundary. And he has said to them, this far shall you go and no more. That's the way the things that God has made that give us pleasure, bring us pleasure, he has a boundary on those things. This far shalt thou go and no more. And people resent those boundaries. People resent those of us who live within those boundaries. They resent us. Jesus said, they've hated me, they'll hate you. They resent it because they don't want boundaries on their life. They don't want to see you with boundaries on your life because you bring some kind of judgment that they feel against them. But when something pleases God, it is something that is girded by the will of God, boundaries of God. And as we mentioned, the sea, there's a song, number 55, in our book that says, O sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round like the deep moving currents that girdle the sea. With omnipotent love is my poor nature bound, and the bondage of love sets me perfectly free. That's what we have found when we live according to God's law. We found that living lawless and living away from God's will brought awful grief and pain and suffering into our lives, didn't it? But since we have chosen the will, the song, that same song says, forever I choose the good will of my God. I choose to please Him. Pleasing Him is the best thing. It's the only thing. God wants us to have a heart to constantly seek to please Him, to be well-pleasing in His sight, as Jesus was. Well, there's one reason why that people don't want this in their lives. They feel like they'll suffer, which Isaiah 53, it tells us that with Jesus, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. We want the pleasure of the Lord. We want to be well-pleasing to Him. Well, sometimes it might be that the Lord would be pleased to bruise us as He was Jesus. We're not going to die for anybody as Jesus did, but it did please the Lord to cause His own Son to suffer so that the world might be saved. And Jesus took it. Jesus was willingly. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. One place in Hebrews says that He learned obedience through the things that He suffered, and it tells about how that He brought many sons to glory. Where was it? Well, maybe it's this one in Isaiah again. Isaiah 53:11. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Because of his sufferings we are saved. And he willingly took that on him that he might be our Savior. Thank the Lord. He willingly was given so that he could bring many sons into glory. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. In verse 14 it says, Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In verse 18 it says, For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Succor means to help or to aid. Because he suffered being tempted, he's able to help those who are tempted. Oh, we thank the Lord for what he went through for us, even though it was grief and pain. We thank the Lord that he was willing to, as the song says, I'm so glad that he was willing to drink that bitter cup, although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call for heaven's angels. From my hands, tear these nails that torment me. He didn't do that. He took that on himself. He was bruised for our, wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. So because they took a way besides the will of God and desired pleasure, that Eve saw that tree was pleasant to the eyes, because they chose pleasure rather than the will of God, the world was plunged into iniquity and darkness. But because Jesus chose the will of God rather than physical pleasure, he brought salvation and light to the world. Thank the Lord. I've often seen this portrayed in an illustration. I'm not sure which one of these pins work, but I'm going to try to make this little illustration. So, let's say that this is a person who the desires of their heart is, let's say this is the boundary that God puts of the will of God around a person and says, no, this is far you can come and that's no farther. Let's say that a person's desires go further. Let's say that the person whose desires want to go beyond the will of God. What happens then? What happens to a person when their desires go beyond the will of God? They're led into darkness and outside God's will. There is ruin and eternal punishment. God's will, if we will stay within God's will, our life will be with light, eternal life. Hope you can understand what I'm trying to do there. The pleasures that God put in life, God didn't want us to totally seek for pleasure, totally seek to have fun, totally seek for to eat yummy food, totally just seek for that which gratifies the flesh. If we go outside of God's will to do that, it will be into ruin. But if we accept God's will for our life, like marriage, God's plan for marriage puts a boundary on the lusts of the flesh. We see the whole world out there running toward the gratification of the flesh. And what has happened? Marriages are broken up. People are living without God's law in their life. What does it do to other people? What does it do to their children? What does it do to people around them? A life lived for pleasure that goes outside the will of God, it hurts others. God's pleasure. I remember I used to tell my children, if it's not fun for everybody, it's not fun for anybody. If my desire to do something runs over another person and hurts and injures them, then that's not what I want to do. God doesn't want us to do something that hurts and injures other people just so we can have fun, just so we can have something that feels good. No. He wants us to have pleasure, but it be within the law of God, within the will of God. Back to Isaiah again. There's a scripture here. Isaiah 58. Describes here in the last part of the chapter what it meant to him to observe the Sabbath. It wasn't just a strict law of no work on Saturday and only one day you could only worship him. But he wanted his people to choose to serve him and delight in him. And it says verse 13. Of Isaiah 58. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. That was his desire. His desire was to help was for them to seek after him, not just say what they wanted to say. And his desire for us today, not just on one day a week, but for our whole life to be given to him this way, that we would not just do our own ways or find our own pleasure or speak our own words. But he wants us to delight in him. That's the true Sabbath. It's for our life, our whole life, to be given to him. For us to seek after His pleasure every day, not just one day. I was trying to find another place where the Spirit witnessed of Jesus that He was well pleased with Him. Does someone have one of those scriptures in your mind that you can help me with? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. As we think about these different names that have been named, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, that pleased God, that believed Him, obeyed Him, and trusted Him, does it not make you want to do this also? I want to do this. I don't want to draw back. It says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We want to bring pleasure into the heart of God. We want Him to be well pleased with us.
Yes, we will.
And we can. We can. In Romans 8, it tells us that when we're carnally minded or respond to the things of the flesh and live for pleasure, we cannot please God. It takes going beyond our own desires, does it not, to believe God, to trust in Him and obey Him. It takes that to please God. Verse 8 of Romans 8. So then they that are in the flesh, doesn't mean somebody who's just a person here on the earth. It doesn't just mean that, but it means a person who goes after the flesh, somebody who lives to gratify the flesh, cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. So we want to have a heart that seeks to please God, not speak our own words or do our own works, but to obey and follow God. And there's promises to those who will do that. I just put my eyes on one verse here in Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So we want to have this heart in us to please Him, because all the things in our life will work together for our good, to be a benefit to us, to cause us to grow and to prosper. We want that in our lives. Now I want to show you another promise. Psalms 36, and 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Is the life of serving God and pleasing God and going against our flesh, is it just something horrible? Is it just something without any pleasure? Did he not leave us anything to enjoy? No, I don't believe it is. Adam and Eve, were they without what they needed there in the garden? Was there no joy, no good things, no good fruit to eat? No. He said, of every fruit of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Just that one tree they were asked not to eat. They were commanded not to eat. But God didn't leave them without pleasure. And people today who feel like that, those of us who live for God, just don't have any joy in life, don't have any fun, they're mistaken. We do have joy. We do have pleasurable things. We do have wonderful, happy times. We do. It's living outside the will of God that brings darkness and unhappiness, as Adam and Eve found out. We want to please God, and we will be given not just a drink, as Jesus said to the woman there, but a river flowing, a river of pleasure. Thank the Lord. They shall be abundantly satisfied. They shall make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. I believe we have a song in our songbook that says, O drink of the river of pleasure, and surely thy spirit shall know thy hungering and thirsting are over. How does the rest of it go? Thy blessings forever shall flow. It's a blessing that begins now and it continues on past this life into eternity. Never ends. Gets better and better. Thank the Lord. So, without anything to blind you, you have this choice to make. The pleasures of sin for just a season, or the blessings of God that never end. What choice will we make this morning? You know, with nothing to blind you, and you have just your right mind to make this choice, what choice will you make? It's just sensible. It just makes good sense, doesn't it, to choose to please God. It's someone who's been blinded by the enemy who won't make that choice. As we pray for our loved ones that are not saved, we need to pray, Lord, take the blinds from their eyes because they're not making a good choice. They've been blinded. And if they had their sight, they could see what's the best choice and make that choice. Well, I believe that's all the scriptures that I have today. I trust that your heart has been stirred and your thoughts have been directed to want to please the Lord and to recognize that He's made things for my pleasure, but I'm not just to seek after pleasure, but I'm to seek to please Him. He can be pleased. He can be pleased, and I can find His pleasure in my life, a river of pleasure. Thank the Lord. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. It's my prayer.